Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
A 54-yard attempt to try to put the Raiders in front. Jacob Goldenmeyer, the snapper. A.J. Cole, the holder. The kick is blocked. Unbelievable. In agony down on that Vegas sideline. It was Josh Blackwell sneaking in. Who got a fingertip on it? First blocked field goal for the Chicago Bears since week two of the 2023 season, and the reaction from Ben Johnson.
Spiro, that's unbelievable. You know how rare it is for an outside rusher to be the one to block it? When you see blocks, it's usually up the middle. For him to be able to bend that corner, get his hands on the football, just an incredible play and an incredible finish for Chicago.
We are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank. And great clips, Judson Richards along with you, as we are celebrating a Bears 25-24 victory over the Las Vegas Raiders. And what a win it was. 312-644-6767. That is a number for your texts and your calls as well. What did you make of that victory? There's been a lot of culture talk. There's been a lot of the Bears either heading in the right direction or turning the corner. Do you see it under this new regime? 312-644-6767. If you had the Bears as a sub-500 team, have they convinced you that potentially the Bears could finish this year up over 500? Also want to remind you the rundown of what is heading our way today on 6-7 The Score. Let's begin with Mully and Haw. Brad Biggs coming your way at 7:25. Olin Kreutz, who we'll hear from in just a moment, at 8 o'clock. Bruce Levine at 8:25, getting you set for that Cubs-Padres series at Wrigley Field in the NL wildcard race beginning on Tuesday. Now, a game you'll hear right here, the entire series on 6-7 The Score, beginning at 1:30 on Tuesday. First pitch at 2:08. Aditi Kinkabwala, that'll be an interesting one. That awkward exchange between Ben Johnson and that female reporter, that is Aditi. She will join Mully and Haw coming up at 9 o'clock. Then Raheemy Harris and Grody, they'll get started at 10 o'clock. Dan Weeder at 11. Anthony Heron at 1 o'clock. Then Spiegel and Holmes from Las Vegas. Kurt Warner, the Hall of Famer, will join them at 3 o'clock. Jason Leisure of the Chicago Sun-Times will join them coming up at 4 o'clock. We will check in with the postgame show coming up in just a moment with Mike Mulligan. And, of course, Patrick Manley and Olin Kreutz will get their immediate reaction to the Bears' 25-24 win over the Raiders. A couple of thoughts on this game. I think there's probably a lot of people out there that thought, because the Bears played an incredibly clean game against the Dallas Cowboys. Right, that was crisp on all phases. Offense, defense, special teams. It was complimentary. You had takeaways. Caleb Williams was virtually perfect with that clean pocket. And it was like, how good is this team going to look coming off of that performance? It's not like the Raiders are great. They had a mirroring record of the Bears at 1-2. And this one, offensively, specifically, was clunky out of the jump. Right, I mean, they were, I think they went 3-and-out twice. It just didn't look good. Thing that looked great was the secondary. You had Kevin Byard, two interceptions. You had Tyreek Stevenson with just a remarkable interception. Three picks from that Bears defense. Four turnovers in all from the Bears defense. But other than that, the only thing that felt complimentary was like the last 2 minutes. Bears offense scored a touchdown. Special teams gave up a big return from that kickoff, but the defense did a good enough job to at least keep it to a 54-yard attempt. And then the special teams complimented everyone with the Josh Blackwell block. So for those of you that may feel a little down about this type of a win against the Las Vegas Raiders at 1-3, I will remind you that 4 weeks into the season, this team is incredibly banged up. Like, when you saw the schedule come out like I did, you thought, gosh, that is a really, really early bye week. You kind of feel like it comes at a perfect time. Now, maybe this is just going to be one of those seasons where a team is just hurt all year. You already saw that with Jalen Johnson. I'd like to think it's just great timing. And how about Darnell Wright gets better and Colston Loveland gets better and Grady Jarrett gets better and TJ Edwards gets better and Kyler Gordon gets better. All five of those guys scratches today or yesterday. I mean, that is when you're looking at without six starters, if you add Jalen Johnson, who's on the IR, if you look at all of those guys, specifically the five that I mentioned, you not only have to think, thank goodness for this bye week, thank goodness we were able to get a victory at 2-2, but if you're looking for a silver lining a little bit of quote-unquote beating the Raiders, I thought that there were some young guys that showed up. Don't forget, Noah Sewell helped knock out that turnover. The fumble loss that the Raiders have, Noah Sewell, the linebacker, knocked that one loose. And I know that the offensive line wasn't great by any means, but Theo Benedict is a guy that it looks like the Bears have developed that can give you some positive snaps. Theo Benedict started at right tackle because Darnell Wright was out. They then had to move him. Braxton Jones got benched. Theo Benedict goes to left tackle. Ozzie Trapillo was, I would say, serviceable at right tackle. And you would take serviceable going up against Max Crosby. And then I thought that Kyle Manungai, who only had four carries but averaged 4.8 yards per carry, think had an important run. More importantly, I'd like to see more of Manungai. So I think that there are some young guys that got some experience and may have just played well enough to help the Bears sneak out of Las Vegas with a victory. 312-644-6767. Grant, let's get to the post game. Let's get to the post game of Mike Mulligan, Olin Krutz, and Patrick Manley, their thoughts, initial thoughts of this victory.
Pretty extraordinary, gentlemen. We got Olin Krutz, we got Patrick Manley, and the Bears have a W.
Man, oh man, were we all over the place on that game, huh? Wow, I mean, up and down. I was off the couch, laying on the couch, screaming at the TV, cheering for interceptions, yelling, stop the damn run.
Oh my God, the run.
Just unbelievable, guys. I mean, just I'm happy for him to get the win, right? We kind of went back and forth who was going to win this game, how was it going to be played. I'm sitting there writing notes about how do you lose a game when you get four turnovers. Obviously, it's you lose by giving up 200-plus yards on the ground. But then, guys, I asked Caleb to be great. And I don't know if he was great, but he did his job in the fourth quarter and scored points there in the last drive, right? So he took another step for me, and I was excited to see that. And then it was unfortunate to see the kickoff team give up a big return. And I'm sitting there again rewriting my notes like, oh, no, here we go. This is how you lose a game. And then Richard Hightower and his group and Josh Blackwell, Duke grad, blocks the kick to win the game. So just unbelievable, man. What an up-and-down game and super entertaining. And I'm just glad they won because I would feel a little different right now, but I'm happy for everybody that got the win, and I'm happy for Caleb to go down there and win the game in the fourth quarter. How many years have we been doing post-game shows asking for that, for the quarterback to take the team down and win in the fourth quarter, and they didn't. And it's just exciting to see that win, and I'm happy for him.
Yeah, man. I mean, a gutsy performance by the Chicago Bears, right? What'd they have? Five or six starters out?
Yeah.
But what was their chances to win that game? And Pat said in pregame, you know, they would need these takeaways come in bunches. And it sure did. I mean, they got four of them today, right? We gave one back, and then you were worried because they weren't scoring off of them. Mm. And just how were we going to win this game with Braxton Jones goes out and they can't block Crosby. We talk about Crosby all pregame. Don't let him wreck your game. All of us watching film, not trying to go overboard on how great this guy looks on film. And then you see him in the game, and they make some adjustments. They chip with tight ends. They make just enough plays with Rome Odunze and Caleb again. We talked in pregame about third and long. They've been scoring on third and long. They do it again in this game, man, where they just find a way to make plays. And then Pat saying Caleb took him down the field. He sure did. But the play caller too, right, calling runs in that situation. Calling runs, doing a great job. The first thing I thought is run the ball here. Not only run the ball, not only score by running, but run some clock, right? That's great clock management by the head coach, trying to run the clock down, not give Geno another chance to get in the field goal range. And then the Duke grab, Blackwell blocks the kick. Listen, Miami of Ohio won in volleyball. Illinois won in football. The Bears won. I haven't gone 3-0 in a long time, man. 3-0.
It's a good weekend.
The Cruz House. It's a good weekend today. And I just want to say again, Amali, what a gutsy performance by Chicago Bears. Nothing was pretty. It was ugly, man. It was an ugly football game on both sides. But you go down there with all those guys out, and you find a way to win. It's hard to win in the NFL.
Yeah.
Coach Ben Johnson, congratulations on your first road win in the NFL. Because that is hard to do, Pat, like you know.
Yes.
And I didn't give them any chance to win this game after watching film and look at how many guys they had out. But they go out there, they battle, they fight. Yes, we're going to talk about all the stuff we saw. But just for right now, they found a way to win that football game. That's in the NFL. No one cares how you win it. You win it.
Olin, real quick, the gutsy performance you're talking about, too. You know, I praised Caleb on that last drive. He was under pressure a little bit, but you have to give those tackles credit, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were blocking a little bit of one-on-one there. I know Caleb escaped a little bit, but you've got two young tackles out there, and you're still able to go down there and score in the fourth quarter. So that you summed it up perfectly with gutsy, because that's exactly what that is. You started the game with five starters out. You lose your left tackle. For them to go out on the road and win that game, and I want to give those tackles credit as well. You know, Ozzy Trapillo stepping in, Theo Benedict playing both sides. A lot of credit for them on that last drive. So just gutsy. That's a perfect way to describe it. And it was that's a good win. I mean, that's great for the locker room, too.
It's a great win, yes.
Yeah, it's a great for the locker room.
I had a great feeling when I thought that Ben Johnson might beat up the halftime reporter. I said, man, we're heading in the right direction. We're heading in the right direction here, right?
I mean, wow. Yeah, he was a little bit out of line. I mean, I didn't think she said anything. Yeah, but the questions were legit. It wasn't like she was trying to goad him. You know, it's funny because you hear from people that there are a lot of people nervous in the building because the guy's so intense, and now you see that. And I'll tell you what, I like that there are a lot of people nervous in the building, and I certainly like that he's that intense, but that was maybe a bit much. I don't know. I felt bad for Aditi. That was a tough spot.
Hey, man, I'm all right with it. If that's the personality of the team now, let's go with it. Let's go with it. Get that personality if you're aggressive, and I had no problem with it. And like I said in the pregame, coaches are calling out players or setting a high standard. You know what I mean? They're making people uncomfortable. Now he's making reporters uncomfortable. I'm okay with it.
I got to tell you, I mean, there was a point there in the first half where I believe they had starting field position at the 24 of Las Vegas, at their 20, at their 24 again. I think they marched down to the 24 at one point before retreating, and they end up with 9 points. And you couldn't help but feel that they'd had all this opportunity and they're trading field goals for touchdowns. And how do you win a game like that? Especially the way they got absolutely flattened in the run game. They couldn't stop a run for their lives. And you're just worried about that. But I got to say, it's an extraordinary victory for the Bears. And we were going back and forth. And I got to tell you, I think that feeling that it's Caleb time, as you said, Pat, Olin, the idea that, you know, now this is where you win a game. And they really did do it. I mean, you got to feel good about this team, about this coach, and just the fact that they are at 500 going into their bye week. I don't know anybody that would have felt that would happen when they came out of Detroit.
No, they fought back, and you got to give them credit. Nolan, it's, again, back to gutsy, because you watched the beginning of the game, and I felt like it was just going to turn bad, right? I knew they were getting the turnovers. They're not getting the points. They had the ball on the 24, the 20, and the 24 again. And like you said, 9 points. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be bad. I mean, this is a game where we're going to have to explain how you lose a game winning the turnover battle. And I thought it was that they were giving up 7.7 yards a rush. But it's gutsy, man. It just, again, that says a lot about leadership from Ben Johnson, that locker room, them believing. And these wins, they go a long way, man. You start believing in your players. And I think I talked about it a couple weeks ago that – I did talk about it a couple weeks ago that I always believed like Urlacher would make a play. Peanut would make a play. Somebody would make a play to win the game, cause a turnover to get us back in the game. Well, now we've got a quarterback that I'm starting to believe in the fourth quarter, at the end of halves, can score points. He's interesting to watch because he looks calm in that last drive, right? To me, he looked calm. Like, all right, I've got this. Even when he's scrambling and running around, he makes me feel comfortable. And I like that. I haven't seen that in a while from a quarterback here in Chicago. And that's another game for Caleb that you can put a notch in his belt that we're seeing growth.
Yeah, and it wasn't like last week, right, Pat, where he was, like you're saying, it wasn't like he was protected well the whole game, right? Mm-hmm. He still was calm and hanging in the pocket, and his feet didn't get happy, right? Like he was taking hits. Max Crosby was all over him. Kuntz was pressing him. They were batting balls, right? They were trying to push the pocket on a shorter quarterback. They had a good game plan for him, but like you're saying, it didn't rattle him, which was a question I had from last week. Okay, yeah, you looked great when everything was really nice in the pocket, right? He had a really good pocket last week, had a lot of time. But this week was a little different, and he still came out there in the fourth quarter, hung in the pocket until he couldn't, right? Like you're saying, there was some pressure, and he had to use his feet, and he's really good at that too, and led him down the field and did the things he had to do. And here's the good thing about what Coach did, right? Coach Johnson did. He didn't have to be Superman. Mm-hmm. Right, take him down,
right.
Boom, start handing the ball off. Give it to Swift. Theo Benedict had a great block on the touchdown run. Took out two guys, right? Like other guys making plays that tells you that we have not only one guy being great, but maybe we have a really good play caller, which is what we thought we had when they hired the head coach. Yeah. And like you guys talking about, man, I mean, come into the game and you're saying, okay, I don't see them. I'm saying on film, I don't see them stopping the run. And Pat says to me, well, they'll get turnovers come in bunches. And you're right. That's the only way they were going to win. Right?
That's
the only way they were going to win after that.
Yeah.
Because they were going to give up, in my mind, they were going to give up 200-plus yards rushing. Right? That's the way it was going to be. And everyone said the Raiders couldn't run the ball. And I was thinking they haven't seen the Bears yet. And all we needed, guys, was Chip Kelly to be averaging 7 yards a carry and throw the ball in the first play in the third quarter. That's exactly what we need. And we got to thank him, too, right?
Like, they can't help themselves, man.
No one's stubborn with the run. And that's fine because that's what the Chicago Bears need. But Tyreek Stevenson, a tip of the cap to him. We talked to him in the pregame show. We talked about him. Can he be the number one guy? Can he make the plays? Can he cover the receiver? What an interception on that play. Wasn't like Geno gave him the interception. He dove, man. He made a great play on that.
It was
a great play, and the Bears converted that to 3 points, and they win by one.
Yeah, that was a great play on his part, and he made a couple of them. He stepped up and stopped the run at one point, and someone had to. They went off on the run. They had, I believe, 240 yards rushing in that game. Mm-hmm. Ashton Jeanty, we had talked about him. I believe he went into the game with his career high in the previous three games with 63 yards. He finished with 21 carries, 138 yards. Obviously, he had the big 65-yarder for the touchdown. 6.6 average. He also caught two touchdown passes. Like, man, that kid looked like a player. It was, you know, the Bears really helped him get healthy. But Max Crosby had as good a game as you're going to see. That guy is just he's just a force of nature. It's pretty extraordinary what he's able to do.
I mean, it really is. You know, going into the week, we talked about him in pregame. They obviously talk about him all week and have a game plan for him, and you still can't stop him. It's just – it's impressive. And the guy doesn't come off the field. I don't know where he gets that energy, the motor, whatever it is, and just the instinct. He's pretty special. I think I tweeted at one point the Bears had 6 points. Max Crosby had 7. Like, it just seemed that way that he was winning the game, that he was that impressive. But give the Bears credit. At the end, they scored, what, 25 points to win the game and neutralized them a little bit. I mean, he still was affecting the game, but – you know, Ben Johnson changed some calls and then fixed some stuff up, but he's fun to watch, man. I wish we had somebody like that on the Bears. He's just a lot of fun to watch each week.
It's crazy when you talk about the game Genty had and the game Crosby had, and then you say and Pat said the Chicago Bears won.
Yeah.
Right? And Pat, like we talk about, the hardest thing to do in the NFL is to learn how to win football games any way you can. You walk out of there, you don't care as long as you walk away with the W, as long as you walk away by winning that game. And they came away, and the takeaways were big. The defense was huge today. And then, like we're talking about, the Caleb and Johnson and everybody on that last drive, and Caleb being under pressure all game but still being comfortable in that pocket, man. He didn't have happy feet at all, Pat. He just sat in there, kept his eyes up. Adam Archuleta, I don't know what game he was watching, but he was calling the game and saying things that weren't going on the screen, which was awesome to listen to, too, right? You just all around, they were just, you know, there was a snap too early, and there were penalties again on the off. There was everything we talked about they couldn't do. Everything we talked about they couldn't do. And they did it and won the game. And to me, man, with 6 starters out and guys start to come back after the bye, I don't know. I don't know anymore what this team could be. And there's problems they got to solve, right? The penalties, stopping the run, like all the things we talked about, all the things I talked about, why they would lose this game going to Las Vegas. But they didn't, because they got the turnovers and Caleb helped and had that last drive at the end of the game. They won the game. And then, Pat, special teams, right? Taylor's punt, that's huge.
Yes, oh, huge.
That's huge, man. I mean, we've been waiting for that, right? And then Blackwell's block. Mm-hmm. That's huge. Special teams came up big.
Yes. Yeah, it's the perfect game from a coaching standpoint where you win, but you got a ton of stuff to teach us off of, right? Mm-hmm. Especially going into the bye week. So great news for the Bears.
All right, good stuff there from the guys, Mully and Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley, breaking down their reaction. And again, a lot of good stuff. We know the bad. One of them was trying to stop the rushing attack of the Raiders. We know the bad. But the ultimate good was the outcome of the game, and that's the Bears improving to 2-2. You're listening to Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. We did want to duck in a phone call. Ryan in Oak Forest is either out late or up early with us here on 6-7 The Score. Hey, Ryan, what's going on?
Hey, Mr. Richards. No, I'm out late. Just caught the recording of the game, and let me tell you what, man, I've been watching the Bears for as long as I can remember. I've never seen a field goal kicker against the Bears miss a kick. Now, I know I'm exaggerating, but this, ooh.
Man. Ryan, I mean, yeah, we can look at the stats, I'm sure, but it's like we'd seen this tape play out so many times, and then it didn't.
I know. And I guess the one thing I can be critical of is I think Ben Johnson, he really has got to just relax just a bit, you know. He's up here. We need him just a little bit here, you know. Like, yeah, we like the fiery intensity, but, I mean, that going for it on fourth down in our own something yard line, that false start by Kokoman, I don't know if that was intentional or not, but if it wasn't for that, you know, that little pump that he did with his back.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if we're having this victory Monday.
Yeah. Ryan, thanks for the phone call. And, you know, we haven't mentioned Cole Kmet. Cole had a rough game. Not only with that penalty, but that was a crucial drop that he had on a beautiful throw from Caleb down the middle of the field.
He had a pretty good catch during the game, though, right?
Yeah, I certainly remember much more bad than good.
Okay.
Yeah, and especially that drop in itself and the penalty included. Yeah, no, tell me if I'm wrong, but I thought that he had a really, really bad game ultimately. If you missed why the Bears really did win this game, there was a conversation between two players over the course of the week that helped the Bears win this game. We'll bring you that audio next. Also, Dave Wanstead weighs in on how the Bears won this football game. And we'll take your phone calls, 312-644-6767. You listen to the score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
25-24, the final score in Las Vegas as the Bears beat the Raiders. The Bears improved to 2-2. The Bears are on a two-game winning streak. And you're listening to Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by BC Bank and Greg Clips. Judson Richards along with you. Take it right up to the Mully and Haw pregame show. Also want to remind you that the NL Wildcard Series begins tomorrow between the Cubs and the Padres at Wrigley Field. Pregame coverage begins at 1:30. First pitch at 2:08. Every local broadcast of Cubs playoff baseball can be heard on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. How about that? It's like the NFL was like, hey, let's have a bye week, week five for the Bears. Kind of, you know, just get out of the way for a few days. Let's focus in on the Cubs knocking off the Padres. And then what a week that would be, right? The Bears come back to it and they get redemption. The next time the Bears take the field, Monday night, October 13th in Washington, a do-over of the Fail Mary. The Washington game is actually an interesting one to compare to this one. We'll get to that in just a moment. Also, have you heard from the star Josh Blackwell about how and why he was able to block that field goal attempt? We'll have that for you coming up as well. But let's go to the phones, 312-644-6767. We are here for you in the middle of the night. John is with us in Dallas, wants to talk about this Bears game. Hey, John, what's going on?
Hey, enjoying the show tonight. Just saying three quick points. I think they gave great effort and couldn't show great courage to win the game. I'm glad they won. My other 2 points is I wasn't too happy with the quarterbacking because his rating was the same as the other quarterback, 73. To me, Caleb played, I give him a D. He missed a lot of open passes and overthrew people. And then my third point is I don't know why the Bears coaches is trying to push down our throat. I don't know what they're doing with DJ Moore, but Roma Duse is not better than DJ Moore, and they are not putting him in the offense. I don't know what they're doing. Starting the game off with him doing a wrap runaround in the backfield, that's not good. This don't bode well for the Bears. DJ Moore is the number one receiver, and they are not putting him in the offense. I'll hang up, and I appreciate you.
John, thank you for the call. Actually, you know, John, if you follow me on Twitter or X at Judson Richards, I actually tweeted late in the game, quite simply, they need to get the ball in the hands of DJ Moore more. Now, I do think Roma Dunze has become the Bears' number one. I don't know if that's because he's better than DJ. Actually, I don't. At this stage of the game, well, they have different skill sets. But I'll say that Caleb looks to just have much more of a connection with Roma Dunze. And the offense doesn't look to be really built to get the ball to or force the ball to DJ Moore. DJ had 4 receptions, 38 yards, 5 targets. Rome had 4 receptions, 69 yards, 8 targets. He also had 1 touchdown. So, do I think that DJ Moore is the best receiver on the Chicago Bears? John, you pose an interesting question. Because if you look at what Roman Dunze is doing, he's off to a great start, right? He's had, you know, he's had a touchdown in every game, in 4 consecutive games. But I've always been so impressed with DJ, especially after he gets the ball in his hands. Like, DJ is kind of a trip because he's slippery, but he's also tough, right? Like, he will also break some tackles, but also make people miss as well, especially for being, I guess I would say, somewhat undersized for an NFL wide receiver. So a big part of me agrees with you, John, especially when the offense was looking as clunky as it was, you know, midway third quarter. It looked like or felt like a time, get the ball into DJ Moore's hands and see if this is the way you can get down the field. Like, see if he can break one. You know, DJ Moore's best years with the Bears came with a quarterback named Justin Fields. But if you actually watch that season, it's not like, you know, it's not like Justin was making 58-yard passes in the air and then he caught it way down the field. A lot of times it was screens or it was more short passes, and DJ was just, his yak was really, really good. Like, his yards after catch was exceptional. So the Bears offense, John, if ultimately your point is they need to get the ball to DJ more often, I would agree with you. Also, you kind of want to use the guy that you're paying. He's in the, at least in the top 5, if not the top 3 of highest paid Bears this season. You know, money shouldn't be everything, but you kind of paid him because you believe in him, right? You kind of paid him because you believe in his skill set. And it's not like he's a forgotten man, but he doesn't seem like he is a featured part of this offense by any means. I think DJ should be utilized more, especially on a day like today where you can't run it. They haven't really run it well all season. And it looked like it was offense trying to get jump started. And the best way to jump start it, an offense, is a big play. And how do you do that? Oftentimes it's guys who are really good with yards after catch. This was a game ultimately that came down to one play, the last play. 54-yard attempt for the Raiders. Most likely would have won the game. Josh Blackwell, the star of this game, got the jump, got to it, put his body there perfectly. I do not understand, or I do not pretend to know the intricacies of blocking a field goal, but I'd venture to guess if you put it on tape, that is very teachable tape that Josh Blackwell put out there. How did he get there? Blackwell told the Marquee Sports Network.
And throughout the week, Scott Daly had given us a little tip with the snapper. He would move the ball right before he would snap it. And so the first two, we got really good jumps. I'm like, I'm close. Like, I'm going to get one. AC was like, we got to get this kick blocked, and I got a good jump.
So how about that? Scott Daly, the long snapper of the Bears, he recognized a tell of the long snapper of the Las Vegas Raiders. Pass that information along. Blackwell was somewhat able to confirm it during the game and got it done. I mean, that is just great communication, right? I mean, that is player-to-player communication. And I think about how many hours we discuss the game of football, even when the season isn't going on. We only get 17 of these. Every play matters. You only play 17 games. So what a spectacular conversation. I mean, think about the millions of dollars they spend on scouts to go out there and try to find the right player to win you games and how difficult it is. And the conversation between Scott Daly and Josh Blackwell played out well enough to block a 54-yarder, which almost feels automatic, especially indoors these days in the NFL. My buddy Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times had a really interesting question for Caleb Williams postgame. And it had to do with a game that you probably, as a Bears fan, want to block out of your mind. But it's impossible to block out. It's, you know, that saying goes, it's like, well, he's not a Hall of Famer if you can't tell the story of the NFL without saying their name. And it almost feels like you can't tell the story of the Bears without the Fail Mary, right? At least you can't tell the 2024 story of the Bears. A 4-2 football team collapses on a Hail Mary with a player, Tyreek Stevenson, not even looking as he's looking off to the crowd as the ball is snapped. Like, a failure so great, it caused the ultimate demise. Not only a 10-game losing streak, but also the firing a head coach, yada, 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 and just a complete crumbling of an organization. But in that game, if you recall, as bad as the offense was for the Bears, Caleb Williams did that thing. You know, the Bears last year, they were the worst in the NFL in scoring in the first quarter. They were top 10 in scoring in the fourth quarter. Why? Because you just threw everything at him but the kitchen sink, and that was oftentimes Caleb running around and being the gifted athlete that he is. Instincts, arm strength, legs. And in that Washington game, he led what should have been a game-winning drive on national television. But not only did he not get to feel that feeling of a game winner leading the game-winning drive, they had to then face the embarrassment of the way that the game ended up. But on Sunday, yesterday, Caleb got that game-winning drive, and unlike the Fail Mary, he was able to walk off the field a winner. Here was Caleb Williams asked, did this remind him of the Washington game?
Did it remind you at all of the Commanders game, kind of before the field, or before the Hail Mary?
Martin, just like the feeling of like it's slow the whole game. Yeah. I think you can say that. It reminds you of that moment, of being able to have a grimy game, like you said, and just, you know, things aren't working as well as you want. You're in, you know, your defense puts you in, I think we were in, you know, for all those picks or something, or at least three of them, I think we were 30 yards out, and you know, they did a hell of a job, and so we didn't do our part in those senses of being able to go score and, you know, create momentum for us as, you know, us as a team. But the defense, you know, they stood strong for us. Special teams stood strong for us. And, you know, at the end of the day, we all came together at the end and, you know, came out victorious.
So the big difference, well, the obvious difference is they lost the Fail Mary game. And yesterday, they won. But if you look a little bit deeper, and reminded of this listening to Patrick Manley and Olin Kreutz with a clip that we just played back, was, you know, those two discussing how difficult it is to learn how to win games. But on the path to learning to win games, as you do begin to win some games, you get to have the feeling of victory. And that ultimately is either a culture builder or just allows you to propel yourself even harder for the next week of work. And specifically, as you're trying to build up your quarterback, any quarterback in the NFL, right? Number one overall pick, 299th pick, whoever it is, as you are trying to build up that quarterback, you need that good fabric, or you need that feeling of gathering those wins. And so one of the things that Caleb Williams was robbed of because of the ineptitude to simply stop a Hail Mary play, the ineptitude of that robbed Caleb Williams of the growth of just the feeling of winning football games and having a winning drive. And not to make it all about number 18, it's also about the team as well. That is important on the building blocks of learning how to win football games. So, this game against the Raiders, I think it's much more than simply 2-2. I'm not predicting the playoffs for the Bears. We saw how many yards they gave up. I mean, just simply look at how many yards they gave up and how poorly they rushed the football themselves, where that game they played doesn't travel. That game they played, they do that enough. First of all, you're not going to have three interceptions in every game, right? You're not going to have the amount of turnovers that the Bears defense were allowed to or did come up with and win football games. But what it can be is something that allows real growth, real culture building, and to get better. Something that we thought that maybe Caleb Williams was heading towards last year. 4-2. It's so hard to think back to last year and wonder, how in the world did they get two games over 500? Like, how did they win 4 of 6 after watching the fragility of that team when they lost the Hail Mary game? But the difference is this year, no matter how you got it done, that flight home back from Las Vegas, these next 2 weeks before they play again on Monday Night Football, drastically different when you're learning how to win games and you can sit with the victory, no matter how you got there, but specifically for Caleb Williams with that game-winning drive. All right, coming up next, we want to hear from you. 312-644-6767. Bears, they go ahead, they beat the Raiders in a bonkers game, 25-24, the final. Dave Wanstead weighed in on the Marquee Sports Network about how the Bears got this game done. We'll hear from Wani coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Came out of that game pretty clean. There really was nobody that of note that didn't finish the game. We're in good shape there. Man, I'm proud of our guys. They came through for us. We're building something special here, and I think they're feeling it. Just the belief they have in each other, the belief they have in this coaching staff, I thought it really shone through. This is a huge win for our team. Finding a way in the fourth quarter to come out on top, I just thought that was outstanding for us. So proud of our guys, proud of the locker room. I know it's an ugly game at times. I thought I'd give a lot of credit to the Raiders. They played their tails off, which we knew they would. You know, Coach Carroll is such a good coach. And they have so many good players on their side that it was going to be a dogfight. And they were desperate for a win, and we were desperate for a win as well. And, it came down right to the wire, just like we thought it might. And so, like I said, that's a huge character win for our team, and I just love it for them.
That was Ben Johnson after the game. The Bears beat the Raiders 25-24. Johnson said, we're building something special here. You know, if you watched that postgame presser with Ben Johnson, I don't know if he's a great poker player. He kept, trying to be positive. He was honest about some things, the struggling offense. You know, he didn't want to be disappointed about winning, but man, his face said he was pissed. Right? I mean, His face was so tight. It's like he couldn't smile. It's like he was grinding his teeth, which is good, which I certainly appreciate. There's a lot to clean up, if you will, in coaching vernacular. And this was a game. They had a game-winning drive. They had a spectacular block punt. But this was a game really won by the secondary. I mean, this was a game, two interceptions. I should say the defense overall, because they did have a takeaway and 3 interceptions. So 4 total takeaways from the Bears' defense, and that ultimately is what did it. You know, at one point, like, the Bears, you know, they'd start on the Raiders' side of the field, I think, 5 times by, like, the third quarter, and they just were not coming away at times, either no points or field goals. But they did ultimately get it done. And previous segment, we were talking about that Commanders fail Mary game. I referenced Tyreek Stevenson, and I remember he was looking into the crowd as the ball was snapped. He was already celebrating. And I think a lot of us thought, well, that's a fireable offense. And at least if it's not fireable, you better be playing out of your mind. He wasn't playing out of his mind, so there may be some surprise that he's still on the football team. But now we need to give him his props as well. I mean, you know, what a great time, especially a 2-game stretch for him to get ready to go back to Washington, a redemption opportunity for the Bears as they get set to play against the Commanders on October 13th. The Bears have a bye, so they are off this Sunday. We got to wait 2 weeks before we watch the Bears again. But if you see how banged up they are, 5 starters who couldn't go yesterday, then it's a good time. But how about these last 2 weeks for Tyreek Stevenson on his redemption tour? 12 targets, 3 receptions allowed, 6 yards total in those 3 receptions, 1 interception, 3 pass breakups. And that interception today, I mean, that was outstanding. Like, that's the kind of play you expect your number one wide receiver to make. Not your second. I'm watching it right now. I'm repeating. I mean, fully extended, chest high in the air to come down with it. Fortunately, just had the wind knocked out of him. Tyreek Stevenson, after the game, here's what he had to say about this victory.
Do you feel this means a little more to get this one, the way, in the manner in which you guys fought and battled throughout the day?
No, most definitely. Definitely great that the team got the win and everything, but I think for us as a team and as a coaching staff, I think we showed grit. We showed that we're going to stay within the game, we're going to play the full 60 minutes until the end, and that we're going to pull out whatever tricks and whatever we need, pull up our socks, and we're just going to go to work. And I feel like that's what this team showed today with this win. Coming down to the last 30 seconds, lay it out for the field goal, but, you know, just having the offense fight back and having the defense go out there and put up the shield that we need. So I'm definitely just happy with this team and happy with the success that we're having.
The word grit, I love that word grit, that audio courtesy of the Marquee Sports Network. But, you know, this was a game, and we've discussed, right, it's if they'd lost this game and I'd said, yeah, but they were really, really banged up. They had a lot of injuries. You would say, ah, excuses. But also, if I were to ask you, do you think that your first team players are better than your backups and reserves? You'd say yes. So it's probably fair to acknowledge that they were a lesser team due to Darnell Wright unable to go, Colston Loveland unable to go, Grady Jarrett unable to go, TJ Edwards unable to go, Kyler Gordon unable to go. So if they are able to overcome all of those injuries, I don't even know if you can call this an ugly win. I mean, you may call it a shorthanded win with how many injuries the Bears have. And I didn't even throw on Jalen Johnson on the IR. You're going to weigh in 312-644-6767. We are live. We are here for you to take your reaction of this Bears-Raiders game we just watched unfold. The Bears have won 2 in a row, 2-2 on the season. Let's get Wani's voice on here. Dave Wansett on the Marquee Sports Network. He broke down the Josh Blackwell field goal block and how it all came to be.
The point was that Josh made the comment. He says that they had a coaching point, okay, a coaching point that the snapper moved the ball a certain way, which gave him a jump. Well, we would study it. You're getting ready for a field goal block or a punt block. A special teams coach gets in there, and he studies the holder because sometimes the guy that's going to hold the ball, he will do a little something different with his hands, with his head, the way he looks at the kicker that gives you an edge and an opportunity to get a jump on the ball. Okay. It might be the kicker. It's funny, the kicker sometimes will make a little, we've had guys that sway a little bit before they go or take a little jab step, something to give you an edge. Most of the time, it is with the snapper or the center, okay? Same guy. And what they'll do, we've had centers get down there, okay, and they might spin the ball or just turn it slightly before they go. Yep. We've had centers that just raise their tail, their butt up a little bit before they snap, okay, and you can go. We've had guys, obviously, that move it this way and then backwards, okay?
It's like someone tipping their pitches out there on the baseball diamond. Hey,
same thing. Let's talk baseball. We're talking Cubs, right? Okay. Playoffs. Okay, I like it. But, no, I mean, so that's what they're studying all week. And the coaches will give these players, and then when they're practicing it, that's what the scout team guys are going to do. So the guy who, when they were practicing, he did the mannerisms, this guy, exactly what they were anticipating. So, you know, he had that tip. But here's the key. I want to make one point. This guy, in order for Blackwell to get clean, he said he was untouched. That means that the second guy in did such a great job. Look at that marker. I'm pressing.
That's how good of a job he did.
Coach, I got so excited. I got so excited about this block. He's coming so hard here that this guy has to block down. This guy, he's always protect the inside. He's got to block down and collapse out there. And what does that do? That shortens the corner where our man Blackwell gets a free rush.
That's right.
If this guy does not do a great job right here of forcing him to block down, I got to come down inside to let you go free, Cole. Because if I don't and I can do this and get a hand on you, you're not going to get there.
Okay.
So I'm going to give a lot of credit to that guy right there. Well planned out by the coaches. Great execution.
Dave Wanstead on the Marquee Sports Network. We will, of course, have Dave Wanstead coming up on Tuesday on 6-7 The Score with Mully and Haw, I believe. And that basically is the explanation of tipping pitches, of showing your hand, of just giving a small hint. Right, in baseball, tipping your pitches, you're letting the hitter know what pitch you're going to throw. In football, the tell, at least in this instance, is letting you know when you can jump, when you can go, right? So you know the snap count, and you can get off the ball that much faster. And you can get around your guy, you can get through your guy, you can go over your guy. And for Josh Blackwell, that's exactly what he did, thanks for the sharp eye of long snapper Scott Daly, who picked that up for the Bears, passed that along. Blackwell was able to recognize it a couple times during the game, too. So was able to confirm it and said, hey, I'm going to go and get it. And that's exactly what he did. The Bears go ahead and beat the Raiders 25-24, the final. How about we go to Las Vegas next as we check in with Lawrence Holmes from Spiegel & Holmes. What is the vibe in Vegas after the Bears win? Lawrence will tell us coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.